Now, how many knows from time to time, it's good to go back and remember some of the things that we have learned? Amen. You know, there's one scripture that says, you know, we need to be reminded lest we let them slip, right? And we need to be reminded of some things because I'm telling you what, it's easy to let some of the things go, especially the things that we learned years and years and years ago. We let them slip. Do you remember the first time you heard, "I am healed by the stripes of Jesus"? You know, I was raised in Pentecost all my life, and I didn't get a revelation of that until I started pastoring this church. And it was 1977. I started in 76, but my first revival was in 1977 with a man from St. Louis that came down here, and he taught us the Word of God and taught us that we are healed by the stripes of Jesus. And he was playing David Ingalls songs. You know, "I am healed, I am healed." Remember those songs? From the top of my head to the sole of my feet. And man, I got a revelation the first time that Jesus bore my sicknesses and my infirmities. But how many knows I could not just receive that word? I had to apply that word. You have to apply the word, or you've got to agree with the word, and you've got to speak the word. And so sometimes we get lazy in speaking the word. We listen to our bodies, and our body says, "You're horrible, you're sick, you're going to die." But Jesus said, "We're going to live and not die." Jesus said, "I'm healed by the stripes." The word said, "I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus." So I'm going to say what the word says, not what my body says. Amen. Or even what my doctor says. Amen. Because I have a higher authority than anything on earth, and it's the Word of God. Are you with me this morning? Amen. And we let some things go, and we need to go back and be reminded of them. How about, remember this scripture, the first time you learned this scripture, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Wow, when we got a hold of that verse of scripture, we were fanatics. We correct everybody, didn't we? We'd go around correcting everybody that didn't say it like we think they should say it. And what happens though over time is we get a little bit lazy, we get a little complacent, and we forget, we don't really forget, but we just let it slip that death and life is in the power of the tongue. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I said death and life are in the power of the tongue. And you know, listen, when you ask somebody, or somebody begins to dump on you all their negative news, don't you just want to stand up in their face and say, "Hey, listen, do you remember Proverbs that says death and life are in the power of the tongue?" And you just want to correct, but how many knows you can be a nuisance correcting all the time? Because I was one. I was a nuisance, and I was doing all the correcting. But from time to time, we let these things slip. And today, I'm asking God for a fresh revelation of walking in the divine favor of the Lord. I believe that we have kind of let some things slip, and one of those things is walking, realizing that God has been so good to us and that we can walk in divine favor. Amen? Amen. And so the first thing you need to understand, and I think you all know this, but let me just remind you lest we let it slip, God loves you. God cares for you, and God desires to meet every one of your needs. That's my God. That's my heavenly Father. Just as my earthly Father felt the same way about me, He feels that way about us. He loves us. He cares for us. He doesn't want to see us hurting and suffering any more than your earthly father wanted to see you suffering and hurting. And so we're going to start again on talking about the favor of the Lord. And I've titled this, "Turn Your Favor on Your Famine." Turn your favor on your famine. I want you to know something. Favor always comes before famine. And we'll get into that in just a moment. But I want you to say this with me. If you can't remember this, go back and watch the stream and write it down and try to remember and say this every day of your life. And I want you to say it with me now, loud and clear. Say, "The favor of the Lord is upon me. The favor of the Lord goes before me. The favor of the Lord opens doors for me. It opens doors that no man can shut." Now, I like this last one. I've read this before to you, and we've quoted this before, but let's say it again. The favor of the Lord will change rules, regulations, and policies if necessary to get me through those doors. You know, every time that we take an international trip, we always pray for the favor of the Lord upon us. Not just that we'll have a good time, but that we'll have the favor of God as soon as we get to the ticket counter. And we've had favor of the Lord before. We was there last year, and they said, "Oh, you're only allowed one bag." And I said, "No, we're allowed two." And they said, "Who are you talking to?" Well, I'm the checkout person here. And I said, "Well, I thought we could have two." And they said, "No, you only get one." And so we talked with them a little bit, kind of prayed silently. And how many knows? Favor of the Lord. We got two bags apiece. So it's the favor of the Lord. I've went through before with excess baggage. One time when we went to Africa, we probably took 12 boxes with us. You've heard this story before, but I'm going to repeat it because I want to. 12 boxes we took. And of course, we did have to pay excess baggage on that. But it was like we had to check out at London. They wouldn't let us just transfer all the way to Nairobi. We had to check out at London. So when we got ready to check back in, we had to check in all 12 bags again. And we found favor. Darlene, do you remember how that sky cap? He found us standing way in the back of the line. We had all these boxes, and he come up here with a big old cart, a wagon, picked up all the boxes, put them on there, and he said, "Come on, I think I can get you to the front." And he wheeled us all the way past everybody right to the front of the line. I tell you what, that's the favor of the Lord. One time we were standing in line in St. Louis, and we knew one of the police officers. He came to church here, but one of the police officers at the airport, and he saw us there standing in line. He wheeled over on his little Segway. He come running around through there, and I was thinking, mall cop, you know, here he comes. And he wheels up there, and he said, "Come on, you don't have to stay way back here in line. I'll get you up front." And he took it, and I kind of felt a little, you know, you kind of feel a little bad jumping in front of everybody. Last year in Nairobi, it was raining. The line was long. The computers were down. There was no place to stand where you couldn't get wet. And I'm telling you what, the line was as far as you could see. And our host said, "Are you still a chaplain?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Let me see your badge." So I showed him my badge. He says, "I'll be right back." And he went to the very front of the line to where the guy was guarding the door. He said, "I have a diplomat here with me today, and we need to get our diplomat through there." He said, bring him up. And we got through all that line. We'd have been waiting 2 hours, but he got us through because favor. Everybody shouts favor. Favor of the Lord. Let me give you one more here. Just this last trip. How many remembers what favor of the Lord came upon us this last trip? Amen. We were snuggled in a three-seat plane, and, you know, because I'm kind of thin, these other two girls rolled over on me, you know, and sat on my seat, and we were tight. We were very tight, and we showed a picture. I think Krista took a selfie and took a picture, and somebody saw that, and a little lady in Little Rock, Arkansas, Roth Gorley's mother, Melba, she saw that. And she said, "They are not going home that way. We're not going to let them go home that way." She said, "How much would it cost to upgrade to premium economy?" Tiffany went to work, and she found out it was about $2,000. I tell you what, within 30 minutes, we had the check in the bank over here already and transferred over, and we wasted no time in upgrading to premium economy. But that's the favor of the Lord. Listen, here's the thing I want you to do, and I want you to understand. When you see the favor of the Lord, you need to stop and declare, "That was the favor of God." That is giving God praise at the very moment that it happens. As soon as we got that phone call from America, we said, "That's the favor of the Lord." We had tears in our eyes, didn't we? I mean, it was a big deal for us. And the favor of the Lord just follows us. Tiffany told Darlene, she said, "Mom, everywhere you go, you have the favor of the Lord." And that's the truth. Everywhere, the favor of the Lord is upon us. Now, here's the thing. God doesn't love us any more than he loves you. He wants to give you as much favor as he gives anybody else. How many knows God? I used to say God has no favorites, but how many knows God does have some favorites? Those that will believe him. Those that will trust him. And when you see the favor of the Lord and you declare that's the favor of the Lord, it'll be easier for you next time to see the favor of God. And I'm telling you what, listen to me. I've been doing this a few years. Trust me, I do this for a living. this is the truth. I'm not preaching now. I'm telling you the truth, all right? Listen. I forgot what I was going to say. The favor of the Lord. The more you recognize and declare this is the favor of the Lord, the more you will see the favor of the Lord. Amen. 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 Okay, that's not even page one yet. Now, I can know that it belongs to me. I can know that healing belongs to me. I can know that the blessings and the favor and the kindness and the goodness of the Lord belongs to me. I know it belongs to me. But how many knows I must learn to decree it? Remember in, what was that, 4 years ago on a New Year's service, or it was either the last Sunday of the year or the first Sunday of the year, we had the declarations and all the staff came up here and we declared and decreed some things. You remember that? If you declare it, you got to declare it. You got to decree it. And it'll be established. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Now, I know I'm healed, but I still have to declare. I can't just keep it inside. I've got to declare with words, because words have a creative force. I say with the words of my mouth what the word of God says, and the word creates. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. Guess what's going to happen? The word goes to work, but you have to declare it. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Everybody say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What are we supposed to say? What the word says. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. My God supplies all my needs. God grants the desires of my heart. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And you've got to learn to decree and declare it. Amen. Yeah. It was mine 2,000 years ago, but I have to declare today I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Amen. It's not enough to know. You've got to declare it. Remember Psalms 91? Did I give you Psalms 91, did I? Maybe I didn't. But it says, Psalms 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Remember that? That's the wrong verse. Verse 1. He who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High dwelleth. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. Here we go. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Next verse, please. I will say, look here, I will say of the Lord. Now, notice, the previous verse says, I am under the shadow of the Almighty, but I have to say something. Are y'all receiving this today? We've got to learn to talk, folks. We've been talking all right, but we've been talking the wrong stuff. Amen. We need to say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He's my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. We say that with our mouth because we believe it in our heart. If you don't believe it in your heart, you're just parroting something. Amen. And so I want you to receive this today. I may come across a little bit strong, but I just believe in what I'm saying today. And I want you to grab a hold of this more than ever before. And you've heard messages on this before, but I just feel like now is the time we need to talk about this and connect with this thought about the favor of the Lord. And so I will say of the Lord, and then the next verse, I believe, says, and surely He shall deliver thee. Now notice, I will say of the Lord, He is, and surely He will deliver thee. Notice, oh, there it is right there. Surely He will deliver you from the snare. When? When I say. Y'all see that this morning? When I say, surely He will deliver. When I say, what am I going to say? I'm going to say what He says. Amen. And He will deliver me from the fowler and from the noise and pestilence and all that other stuff. Amen. So listen, here's all I want you to see today is that my part is to declare the word of God. I don't make it happen. I can't make it happen. I just declare the word of the Lord. We've got the easy part. Amen. All you've got to do is believe what the word says, say what the word says, and then he will take care of the big part of it. Amen. Y'all see that? Shout amen. Amen. If you love your pastor, raise your hand like this and just say, oh, how I love Pastor Rhodes. Okay. How many here is born again, filled with the Spirit of God? You know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know that song we sang a while ago about how the blood, you know, has we've got a new name written down in glory. I know that. And you know what? There is no question about it, because you are born again, because your name is written in glory, you have the favor of the Lord. You didn't get it. You didn't get it yesterday. When you got born again, God deposited that in your spiritual account. You have the favor of the Lord. It's on your life. Now, let me just clarify some things, lest you walk out of here with the wrong thought today. The favor of the Lord does not negate the famines and the negative and the difficult things of life. Well, Brother Rhodes, I thought I had the favor of the Lord. Well, we do have the favor of the Lord, but it doesn't negate the negative things. It doesn't negate the struggles. All I know is I've got the favor of the Lord in the midst of the struggle. Amen. Amen. So there's areas of our life that will coexist, that will coexist where there will be famine coexisting with favor. Amen. Are you listening? Amen. Kind of like the wheat and the tares. The favor and the famine, it kind of grows together, don't you? But you know, if you don't give up, if you press on, how many knows wheat's going to win, right? Favor's going to win. Say this with me. I can turn my strengths on my weaknesses. Let's try it like this. I can turn my favor, or I can turn the favor of the Lord on my weaknesses. Amen. So the Bible talks about famines in the land, and we think you know, when there's famine in the land, there's no wheat, there's no barley, there's no rice, there's no food. You know, commerce has come to an end. There's no bartering. You know, in the old days they bartered with food and animals. Yeah, I'll give you this much corn for this many cows, and that's how they bartered. But you know, the Bible said that there was famine in the land. And I want us to look at Genesis chapter 26. There's a couple things here that we've talked about before, but I just feel like I need to share it with you again. Genesis chapter 26, we're going to read verses 1 through 6, and then we're going to drop down verses 12, 14, and 16. 1 through 6, 12 through 14, and verse 16. If you brought your Bibles, now would be a good time to hear those pages turning. Verse 1. Now there was a famine in the land, besides the previous famine in Abraham's time. And Isaac went to Abimelech, the king of Philistine, in Gerar. And the Lord appeared to Isaac and said, Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Doesn't that sound a little bit like what he told Elijah one time? He said, I want you to go down by the brook, and I want you to stay at the brook. How many knows he had to go to Dry Brook University? He got quite an education down there. But he's telling Isaac the same thing here now. He's saying, don't go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. Notice the key word is stay. Everybody shout, stay. That'll preach. For to you and your descendants, I will give all these lands and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and will give them all these lands, and through your offspring, all nations of the earth, all nations on earth will be blessed. That's a powerful word right there. Why? Because Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required of him, keeping my commands, my decrees, and my instructions. So Isaac, smart man, stayed in Gerar. God blessed Abraham, not just because he said so, but because Abraham did everything that God requested him to do. Are you with me? Now, let's drop down to verses 12, 13, and 14. So Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped 100-fold. Everybody say 100-fold. You know, we don't think much about that, do we? 100-fold. We think about, you know, is 100-fold 100 times, or is 100 times 100? Is it different? And I might share with you something about that in just a minute. But the Lord blessed him. It said the Lord, he reaped in the same year 100-fold. The man became rich. His wealth continued to grow. He became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and so many herds and so many servants that the Philistines envied him. I'm on verse 16 now. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, get away from us. You have become too powerful for us. The Message Bible says Abimelech told Isaac, leave. You become far too big for us. The Living Bible says Abimelech asked Isaac to leave the country. Go somewhere else. You become too rich and too powerful for us. Come on, church, say wow. Say it backwards. Good, good. Here's what I want you to, oh, by the way, let me just share this hundredfold with you real quick. I used to think a hundredfold meant 100 times. Who said no? Right? No, those guys. 100-fold, you know, and so last night I did a little test. I took a piece of paper and I folded it once. That's 1-fold. I folded it twice. That's 2-fold. I folded it 3 times. That's 3-fold. I folded it 4 times. That's 4-fold. Do you know when I opened it up, there was 16 little squares on that piece of paper that had been only 4-fold. Now, he said 100-fold. I don't know about you, but that blows my mind. I don't even know if I can think that far, Paul. I don't even know if my mind can go there. I do know this: if you will fold a piece of paper, listen to this. This is fantastic. If you'll fold a piece of paper in half 100 times, it would be thicker than the distance between the earth and the sun. Does that blow your mind? I don't even seem possible, does it? But don't try folding it 100 times, because you'll never make it. Paper folding illustrates exponential growth. And so I folded the fake paper just to see how many folds I could get on there. I couldn't get hardly more than 4. I might have got 5, and then it would have been 20. But that's exponential growth, isn't it? God said he's going to bless him 100-fold because he planted. There's a message right there. When you learn to plant, God's going to bless. Amen? Amen? And so I guarantee you right now, in every one of our lives, somewhere in our life, there is a famine, okay? There's, you may be successful financially, you may be successful physically, but somewhere in everyone's life, there's some kind of a famine that we're going through. And I just want you to know that the favor of the Lord can be so abundant in one area of your life, but in spite of that, there can still be a famine in the other area of your life. You may have an abundance of finances, but you may physically have a famine in your body. Are you with me? And I want to teach you this morning how to turn your favor. I guess I ought to learn my own message, huh? Turn your favor on your famine. Don't ever look at somebody and be so impressed with their success that you don't think they ever have any famines. We have a tendency to look at people and say, oh, they're blessed, they're blessed, they're blessed. Look at the car, look at the house, look at their job, look at, oh, they're so blessed. But you don't know, maybe there's a relational problem in the house. Can I hear an amen? Maybe there's a friendship. Maybe they don't have any friendship. Maybe there's a famine of friendships. So don't ever look at somebody and just say, ooh, they're so blessed, they don't have any famines. Because everybody's got, somewhere, we've got a famine. Can I hear an amen? A famine. And so I want to remind you of the story in Genesis chapter 41. Everybody remembers Joseph. We remember the favor of the Lord that was on Joseph. But I want to skip past the part where he had the coat, where he was thrown in the pit. I want to skip past the part, excuse me, where he was elevated. I want to take you to an area where Pharaoh had a dream and Joseph interpreted that dream. Now, I'm going to paraphrase because I've got a lot of scripture, so I just want to paraphrase a little bit here. Here's what the Pharaoh saw in his dream. He saw 7 cattle that came up out of the water. They were full, they were fat, they were strong. And he said, I looked again, and 7 more came up out of the water, and these were lean and sickly and frail, about to die. And they ate up the first fat cows, the first 7 fat cows, and after eating them, they were still sickly. He had another dream. He said he saw 7 good ears of corn on the stalk, and then he saw 7 ears that were withered, and they devoured the 7 good ones. You know what Pharaoh said? I think God's trying to tell me something. You ever had God try to tell you something and you just push it aside? He said, at least he was wise enough to know. I think the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is trying to tell me something. And so he began to search among his own people, and he was looking for somebody that could interpret the dreams. How many knows his soothsayers and his wizards and all of their stargazers and moon worshipers? They couldn't help. But how many knows at this time the butler and the baker were already out of prison, and they told the Pharaoh, I remember a guy when we were in prison that could interpret dreams. So evidently, Joseph interpreted dreams in the prison. Are you listening? This is going somewhere. Stay buckled up for just a few more minutes. He said he can interpret dreams. He can tell you what a dream means. Now, Joseph was faithful. He was upright. He was a godly man. He was gifted. Let me tell you something. If Joseph would have been like a lot of preachers today, they wouldn't have preached to that small crowd in the jail, because they'll only preach to large crowds. I only want to go where there's a big crowd or where there's a big offering. I'm not going to exercise my gift with just five people listening. I need a crowd. And there's people like that today. And I'm telling you, God help them. But he was so committed to his calling. He knew he was gifted to talk to people and to minister to people. And even in a jail cell where it was just a handful of people, he still operated in his anointing. Now, what I want you to see is, even though it was just a handful of people, in that little handful of people was the butler and the baker that helped him get before great men. You know, the Bible says your gifts will cause you to stand before great men, right? So little did Joseph know at this time that he was speaking to a small congregation. Listen, when you preach at Solid Rock, you better prepare just like it. You better prepare whether there's five here or 500. Amen. If you come in and say, well, there's only five people here tonight, I don't think I'm going to give up my best, you probably don't need to be preaching anymore. Right. Amen? Because those five people are just as important as the 500 or the 50. Yep. Amen? It shouldn't make any difference how we preach because of the size of the crowd. I've preached to little crowds, I've preached to big crowds, and I'll still go wherever God opens the door. Amen. And so it doesn't matter. We don't ask how much you're going to pay us, how many people you got running. We don't ask those kind of questions. Amen. Sometimes on Wednesday night, you may feel like, well, I don't have to give it my best because we don't have a house full here. How many knows God called us to be faithful, not famous? Oh, that's a good one. Say it with me. God called us to be faithful, not famous. You know what? You never know who's in the house. There could be a baker. There could be a butler. There's somebody. There might be somebody in the house that can get you before great people someday. That's why you always give God your best. Amen. So Joseph had a gift, and these two people carried that message to the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh said, well, go get him. Let him interpret my dreams. You all know the story, but I'm just going to briefly get through it. So he's standing before the Pharaoh, and he begins to give him his dream. And I love what he says in verse 16. He said, it is beyond my power to do this, but God can tell you what it means. Don't you love that? Don't you love that humility? Even though the gift was on the inside of him, he still had humility. And he said, it's beyond my power, but God can do this. Amen. It's not me. You know why I don't advertise? When we go overseas, we don't put out big bulletins that says, come to this great healing crusade. Miracles and signs and wonders. You're going to see great things done. Because you know what? I can't do great things. If I'm going to advertise something, I better be able to carry it out, right? I can't cause tumors to fall off of people. I can't make eyes that are blind open. I can't make the lame walk. And that's what Joseph said. Only God can do this. Amen. I'm not about to get all stressed out to do something that I can't do. I know my limitations. I know who I am. Are you still with me? Okay. I know the difference between what Rhodes can do and what God can do. You know, there's some people that get caught up in that, and they get over there and their ministries begin to fail because they can't perform what they promised to perform. And so, yeah, you can get big crowds, but if you can't perform, you can forget it, Jack. Amen? Genesis 41:32 says there was 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. Here's what he said. Over the 7 years, you're going to be blessed like never before. You're going to go through some good times, but immediately after that, you're going to go through 7 years of famine. Everybody say, turn your favor on your famine. And here's the advice that Joseph begins to give him. You know, he used his God-given gift. He explained what it meant. But then after he gave the explanation, he said this. I like this. Joseph said, Pharaoh, if I were you, this is what I would do. I would take 7 years plenty and use them against the 7 years of famine. And if you'll put a man in charge of this, he will use the favor against the famine. Thus the title of my sermon. Use your favor on your famine. This guy will use the favor up against the famine. How many knows if you got a man in the right position, a famine doesn't mean anything? Amen. And so he gives him the advice of what to do, and that's what I want to just take I want you to give you a couple points this morning. And after I take a drink, I will give you some points. And we're going to find out how to get through some famines. If you need to get up and leave, feel free. One of the reasons so many people go through depression and go through famines is they are looking at life through a vacuum. I said they're looking at life through a vacuum. What that means is that's all they can see is where they're at right now. All I can see is where I am right now. It doesn't matter where I've come from. It doesn't matter what's in the future. All I can see is where I am right now. And this storm is so bad. This depression is so bad. The doctor says this report is so bad. It can't get any better. And all I see is where I'm at right now. And folks, that'll keep you in your depression. That'll keep you in that state of famine forever. Amen. Because you only see one season of your life. How many's ever had a good season in the past? Huh? Yeah. How many's had a bad season in the past? Haven't we all? It might be horrible right now, but it won't always be horrible. You may be going through something right now. Tracy, can you? I remember some of the things that you went through. But look at you today. I remember what Cole went through. Look at Cole today. Amen. Some of you, look where you were 5 years ago and look where you're at today. It's good preaching, Pastor. That's right. Say it out loud. I was in prison. Past tense. And now he's in church. Amen. Love you, buddy. What we need to do is we need to learn to look back and see where we have been. We can't stay focused at where we're at right now. And as long as you're looking at where you're at right now, you'll never get out of there. You're focusing on the now. All you can see. Is anybody getting anything out of this? I know this is simple. I dumbed it down for me today, okay? So where you're at right now doesn't mean that's where you're always going to be at. If you don't believe that, look at where you came from. Do you ever have any good times in the past? Do you ever have no pain in your body in the past? Do you ever have family all in harmony and agreement in the past? Did you ever have a good marriage in the past? Oh, I didn't get too many amens on that one, did I? Look back and see where God has brought us from. I'll give you an example. Look at this scripture here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. One of my favorite scriptures, verse 17, says, while we look not... verse 17. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Y'all see that? Can y'all read those little letters up there? For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles. Hello? We're not looking at the troubles that we can now see. But we're going to fix our gaze on those things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. Somebody shout amen. Somebody put your hands together and give God a praise. The things we see now will soon be gone. Take the blinders off. Get rid of the vacuum hose. Here's what Joseph told the Pharaoh. The famine is not the problem. You hear me? Now let me tell you something. This is good medicine this morning. The famine is not the problem. It's what you do in the famine. And it's what you do before the famine. Hello? They had 7 good years. And so along comes the man of God interpreting the dream and says, what we need to do is we need to set aside, because we're so blessed now. This message could go so many ways. We're so blessed now that we're going to set aside 20%, or I forget what it was, a fifth maybe. I think it was 20%. We're going to set aside a fifth, and we'll use that for the 7 lean years. But not only did they use it for themselves, but they made a business out of it. People came from all the other countries around and bought food from them because they were wise with what they did in the family. Famine. Thank you. Man, I love this message. take your favor and use it against your famine. And if you'll lay it in store when the famine comes, you'll be able to reach back into your storehouse, everybody say storehouse, and use it against your famine. How many knows you can use that in so many areas? How about saving? How about learning to put back? How about keeping? You know, we've always said, you know, if you will tithe 10%, save 10%, and invest 10% or whatever, and then try to live off the 70%, God's going to bless you. But listen, there's too many people living off the bottom of the barrel, week to week, month to month. And you know what? John Osteen said one time, John was my pastor, and I love Brother Osteen, and he said to me one time, he said, Darryl, if you learn to live off the top of the barrel, it's better than living on the bottom of the barrel. Then my next pastor, Al Jandel, told me the same thing. He wrote a book about it, about the storehouse. And so listen, we need to learn to put back in the good years so when the famine does come, because everybody has famine. When the famine comes, we'll be prepared to get through the good. We might even be able to bless some other people. Oh, that's good preaching. It's not just about me. It's not even about selling what I have to somebody else. It's about being able to give and bless others during the famine. Boy, that's good preaching. Pardon me while I fix myself. Let me give you an example, okay? Are you bored? Is anybody bored? Can I go just a couple more minutes? Max is the only one that bored. I love you, grandson. You're so truthful. You finally found the love of your life. Some of you need to go back right now. Go back in your imagination. The first time you saw that lady that's sitting next to you or that man that's sitting next to you. I mean, the first time you saw them, you had butterflies. And then you got her phone number and she got your phone numbers. And you begin to call each other and you just listen. You wouldn't even talk. You just listen to each other breathe. You still do. You set for 5 minutes and just listen to one another breathe for a while. And what you thinking about? You. Thinking about you. And it just, you know, it's just, Anyway, you get married, right? You get married and everything's going good. And man, all you know, you still, even from work, you call her 10 times a day to check on her. Did I lose anybody? It got awful quiet in this Presbyterian church. You finally get married. You still call each other. I'll be home in 10 minutes. I'll be waiting for you, honey. The door's unlocked. I've got my hair fixed. Come on home. I'm waiting for you. But listen, what happens after about 3 to 5 years of marriage? The phone calls stop. The intimacy stops. You walk through the front door and her hair is in curlers and she won't even look up because she's watching Oprah Winfrey and she won't even get up and welcome you. And she's not about to cook anymore. She's tired of cooking. Hey. He complains and gripes all the time, so I'll teach him I won't cook anymore. He can go jack in the box as far as I'm concerned.
Those tacos are good.
Listen. Your famine, listen to this, your marriage is in famine. Your marriage is in famine. When I used to come home, your eyes would light up. You would meet me in the driveway. I mean, some of those days are over for some of you, right? I didn't hear that. I hope our audience didn't hear that. Now, let me tell you something. Your marriage is in famine right now, but listen, this too shall pass. Amen. This too shall pass. You know why? Because you had good times before the famine. You maybe had 7 good years that you built on, and then when the famine comes, you can look back over those good years and say, you know what? She's not so bad after all. Amen. Hello? Amen. He's not so bad after all. How's that? He's not so bad after all. You know why? You know why? Because you had something in the well that you could draw to apply now to the marriage that's in the famine. Amen. Somebody shout, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Long, long As you have good times before you have the bad times, you can go through the bad times. And you can remind yourself, you know what? We can get through this. It wasn't that bad. I think I'm helping somebody right now. Now, I know some of you can't say amen right now. You're sitting next to somebody and you can't say amen. But when you go home, get out in your garage and just shout hallelujah at the top of your lungs, okay? What makes you able to survive, Roth, is that you have equity in your account that you can take out and apply towards the famine. Woo, that just gave me a goosebump. Woo! I know you're not supposed to be moved by feelings, but that felt good. You take out of the well and apply it to the famine to help you get through those next few weeks or months or years of that dry spell in your marriage. Mm-mm-mm. In other words, use your favor against your famine. Everybody has a famine. I listed some things here. Maybe you lose a loved one. Maybe your mother or your father passes. You lose your job. You didn't get that promotion. Somebody else got the promotion. That sickness didn't leave as quick as you thought it should. Your best friend cuts you off. You ever had a best friend cut you off? We did. Since I don't know who all is listening or watching this today, I'll avoid names. But we had a friend cut us off, and my wife tried to stay in contact by sending cards and letters, but the cards and letters were intercepted and not allowed to be given to the friend. And we got cut off, and it wasn't just one time. We've been cut off more than once. But you know what? It hurts. It's a famine. When you lose a good friend, there's a famine for a while. Are you listening to me? And you need to, you know, you need to learn to draw. Remember those good times. You know what? That's what Darlene and I did. We remembered the fun times, the good times, the great times we had with this couple. And we just kind of, during the famine, we just remember the good times. You know what? It all ironed out. It all came back to good again. Amen. But had I decided to live in that famine and just say, well, bloop on you, and didn't try to rebuild, how many knows we'd still be in famine of a friendship. I hope this is helping somebody. Don't forget the good days. Don't forget the good times. Don't forget the fun times. Don't forget the times that you laughed and you laughed. Do you ever laugh? Do you ever get tickled at something you don't even know what you're laughing about? Darlene and I do this all the time. Do you ever get tickled at something that's just so silly it's not even funny, but the more you think about it, the funnier it gets, and the more you laugh, and the more you laugh, before long you're hysterical? Don't forget the good times. Amen. The Bible says in Psalms 34, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Amen. Use your good days against your bad days. Am I boring anybody? Am I saying this too many times? Okay, it's only 11:22. I'll try to have you out of here by 11:30. I said try. Do you remember when your little baby boy was born? Remember, I mean, as soon as he was born, the nurse picked him up and laid him on mama, and you couldn't wait to hold that little baby boy. And you pick that little baby boy up and you look, oochie, goochie, goochie. Isn't it funny how stupid we get? No, I'm sorry. Isn't it funny how strange we get when we have a new baby in our hands and we talk to that baby like he understands every word we're saying? Oochie, goochie, goochie. Oh, look, honey. Look, he's looking right at me. No, the baby can't even see. But he's smiling. That's because he just passed gas. It's not because he likes you. You know what I'm talking about, Carl. And then that son grows up, gets a little bit older. Remember the oochie goochie cutie little guy that smiled at you when he was a baby? Now he grows up and he comes home half drunk. He took your car without permission. He's all messed up, and you want to find the skillet and just beat him in the head. You did that. Listen, you want to say, well, I'll teach you something, you sucker. No, what you do, what you do is you remember the oochie goochie little thing that looked at you when he was first born. Oochie goochie little baby. Oh, how cute. He looks just like his daddy. What are you doing? You're remembering the good times and applying it to those ugly times. Whew. Weeping, thank you. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. One minute, Joseph is walking around wearing a beautiful coat. The next thing you know, he's in a pit and sold to some slaves. He's walking around Potiphar's house, and he's taking care of business, and somebody lies on him, and he gets thrown back in prison again. Do you stay bitter? Do you stay mad at that individual or at that situation? Or do you just learn to keep on using your gifts for God? And I'm going to keep on preaching the gospel, whether they try to shut me down or not. We're going to keep on preaching, whether they like it or not. Whether they come or whether they go, we're going to keep on preaching. I made up in my mind years ago that whether we have a house full or a handful, we'll keep preaching the gospel. God called me to be faithful, not famous. And so that's what you do. You just keep on. You endure hardness as a good soldier. Man, Darlene and I have been through hell and high water. There's been many nights that we couldn't sleep because we'd get a report. We were in the Republic of Georgia a few years ago, and we got a call. It was nighttime for us, and they woke us up, but it was not for them over here. We got a problem. Somebody's saying this, and somebody's saying that. And you know what? I just wanted to transport myself back home real quick and find that skillet. But we've had some sleepless nights, but you learn to draw on the good times. I remember when. And that'll begin to feed you and strengthen you for the time that you're going through right now. Amen? It's good stuff today. Praise God. He went from Potiphar's palace to the prison, but he went back to the palace. And you know what? He became in charge of everything. In fact, the Pharaoh said, "You're in charge of everything except me." He said, here's a ring. Now listen, Joseph wasn't even an Egyptian. He wasn't even an Egyptian. And the Pharaoh gave him his ring, put his ring on him, you know, and put it on Joseph and showed him he had some authority around there. And he said, "You can run anything in this kingdom except me." Listen to this. Prisoner yesterday, running an entire nation the next. Doesn't that make you smile a little bit? I'm smiling this morning. That just makes me smile. Makes me want to laugh because that's what God can do to your situation. You say, it's so dark right now. It's so gloomy right now. My marriage is a wreck. My job is letting me go. I didn't get the promotion. My body, the doctor said this. Listen. It's only temporary. Get out of the vacuum. Look what God has done before. Isn't he a good God? Okay, I have 3 minutes. Let's see what I can do in 3 minutes. Joseph had a plan for Egypt, and then when other nations came, he was able to feed them. Can I tell you something? Just because you're saved doesn't mean you have to be stupid. All right? You know, the Bible says in Romans 12 and 2, by the renewing of your mind, not the removing of your mind. And some people just get saved and they just go crazy, you know. Don't be stupid. Joseph was smart. He knew that famine was coming and he planned for what was coming. Listen, you know what? I know our nation is in trouble. I know. I'm not stupid. I know our nation is in trouble. But you know what? I know that God has a plan that's going to help turn. He's either going to turn this thing around or get us out of here. Either way is fine with me, Mark. If he wants to heal this country, I'm all for it. I'll pray for healing for the land. But if he said, well, this is all part of Bible prophecy, I'm getting ready to come back and take my kiddos, I say, let's go, Daddy. Come on. Amen. 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 So, you know, we got to learn to use our favor on our famine. I want the worship team to move up here quickly, quietly. And I want everyone to stay focused on me. Because I've got some scriptures I want to read to you. Psalms 91. Let's go through these quick. Who's that back there? In the Kendra, okay? Let's do this. Psalms 91. 1,000 shall fall by thy right side, and 10,000 near thy right hand, at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh you. That's a promise from the Word of God. Amen? Psalms 119:71. When you corrected me, it did me good, because it taught me how to study your Word. Psalms 27:13, I would have fainted unless I'd believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's a good one, right? Amen. What do we need to do? We need to get our eyes off the famine, get our eyes on the favor and the goodness of God, and apply it to the famine. Psalms 37:25. I have been young and now I'm old. I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. Well, Brother Rose, I heard that God's a waymaker. We even sing that song, Waymaker, Miracle Worker, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But it doesn't seem like that's what he's doing for me right now. That was way back there. You need to go way back there and pull it up to where you're at today. Amen. Everybody say this with me. I'm a child of the King. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. Can you say it? I can't believe he brought me this far to leave me. I've been through the storm. I've been through the rain. I've been through the winds. Been through the hurricanes, tornadoes, thunder, lightning, flood. I've been through it all. But God never left me. He was still with me in the storm. Amen. And you know what? I'm going to praise him right through the storm. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? It's 11:30. I'm going to wind it down. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something this morning that maybe you leave your comfort zone for just a moment. But I want you to come up to the front, and I'm going to ask if you just all join us, and I want you to join hands. Not necessarily make a big line, but just join hands with somebody, one person. If you're not into joining hands, join elbows. And just come on up here. Would you do that real quickly for me this morning? Just come up here as close as you can get. Just as close as you can get. Let's bunch in. Let's bunch in. There's not so many here that we can't bunch in. I want you to take somebody by the hand. And I want you to say this with me. I want you to repeat this with me. I'll give you just a second to get up here. But if I was giving away $100 bills, you guys could get up here a little quicker. Eric Fink, I love you, sir. I was talking about you this last week. Good things. Good things. I was talking about you last week. Yeah. Yeah. It was good. It was good. I love you and your wife. You guys are a sweet couple. But you got somebody by the hand, right? Yeah. Now, turn to one either on the left or right. Just make sure y'all are looking at each other, okay? Like Mark, turn to Carol. Lori, turn to Theresa. Theresa, you turn. Okay, let's just everybody look at somebody, okay? Because I'm going to have you say something to them. Don't look at me. Look at somebody next to you. Hannah, who are you looking at? Turn around to the person behind you. Look at them. Okay, keep looking. Here's what I want you to say. I wrote this down because I wanted to get it right. Turn to them and say, you're going to get through this period of your life. It may be a tough season, but you are going to come through it. You might be lonely, but you're going to come through it. You might not have a friend, but you're going to come through it. There's a blessing on the other side of this test. God will give you a song. God will give you a sermon. Or God will give you a service that will bring you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Do you believe that? Amen. I believe the spoken word today. I want to say this. Look at that same person again. Say, God's going to fill you with the joy of the Lord. You're going to be so full of the joy of the Lord that you're going to find yourself laughing hilariously. It's not even going to be funny. But the joy of the Lord's going to bubble out of you. And you're going to be laughing so hard that it hurts the muscles in your stomach. You're going to make it. You're going to come through hell. You're not staying in hell. You're coming through hell. And everything's going to be all right because of the word of the Lord that I speak today. Would you now lift your hands to heaven and give God a praise? Lift your hands to heaven. Give God a praise. Hallelujah. Come on, shout hallelujah. Somebody praise him right now. Somebody praise him in this house today. I'm coming through hell. Hallelujah. It came to pass. It didn't come to stay. I declare over each of you today that the favor of the Lord is upon you. You came in this house today with the favor of the Lord. Maybe you weren't aware of it. But you came in today with the favor of the Lord. And guess what? You're leaving with the favor of the Lord. Amen. Extend your faith. Get your faith out there and you realize, I am full of the favor of God. Everybody say, God, you've been so good to me. If I have the favor of the Lord, why should I fear anything? Huh? If I have favor, why should I be afraid of anything? Why should I be afraid of a terrorist? Somebody said, well, I'd never get on that plane. We were on the first international flight out of the USA in 2001, September, just a few weeks or a few days after September the 11th, we were on the very first international flight out of the United States at, I don't remember whether it was Kennedy or LaGuardia or one of those airports in Washington, D.C. Huh?
That's New York.
Well, thank you, ma'am. Thank you for exposing my failures. No, I'm just teasing. Kennedy, D.C. Kennedy? Which one's D.C.? Dulles? Okay. You know what? It might have been D.C. It might have been New York. I don't know. It's been so long ago. I slept a time. We were leaving on the first flight out of D.C. or New York. And you know where we were headed for? Tehran, Iran. I looked around that airplane. You got 3 seats here, 5 seats here, and 3 seats here. And for some reason, everybody had their head wrapped up in some kind of a cloth. And we were the only ones sitting in there. Where are you from? One guy said, well, I'm from Texas. Another guy asked me where I'm from. I'm from Missouri. I'll tell you what, we felt like we were in the minority that time. Why should I fear? You know, on these international flights, they have your TV screen right in front of you, but they also have these little remote controls that snapped onto your side of your chair, and you pop those little remote controls, and you can play games or you can watch whatever you want. Well, I didn't know that. I thought it was a cell phone. And I thought one of those terrorists had a cell phone and he was getting ready to do something. I almost called the flight attendant over and say, hey, he's got a cell phone and we're in the midair flying and he's got a cell phone. Why should we fear? Amen. I don't have to fear sickness. I don't have to fear a bad report. Somebody could call me and say, we're quitting the church today. I would just say, well, if that's what God's telling you to do, praise God for obeying him. God may, you know, we may get stoned. We may get, but I don't care. I'm at a place right now, John, where I just don't care. Can we do that song? What is that song we're doing? The Goodness of God. Come on, let's sing while you're up here. Just stay up here for just a moment. Let me pray with you first. Father, thank you for this group of people, Lord, that has opened their hearts, opened their ears, and is conforming to the will of God today. Forgive us, Lord, for looking with 20/20 vision at our problems, at our famine, at our lack, at our sickness, at the doctor's report. Forgive us, Lord, for focusing on that. And thank you, Lord, for helping us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind with the Word of God. That we're going to go back into our favor, the good years, the good times, the good health, the good marriage. The good times we had together as husband and wife. And we're going to apply that to this famine that we're in today. Thank you, Lord, that we're growing, we're learning, and we're going to step out into the favor of the Lord today and begin to build that account so that when lean times come, we'll be able to get through. Sing it, folks. Sing it out loud. Lift your voice and sing it with us today. All my life.
All my life you have been faithful.
Yes, sir. Doesn't matter where you're at right now.
All my life you have been so faithful.